shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Crocs, Old Navy Outlet, American Eagle Outfitters, Kay Jewelers, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com. Big time deals on big name brands.
Y'all, I am so excited because Through the Gryffindor is heading back out on tour. Starting in February of 2025, we'll be performing live shows in Charlotte, Orlando, Tampa, Jacksonville, Atlanta, and Nashville. And as always, we will be bringing all of the magic with a tour-long Jay versus Ben trivia showdown with questions submitted and asked by all of you. And then, of course, we will dim the lights for a live recording of Through the Gryffindor. And y'all, these nights have made for some of my all-time favorite since we have started making content on the internet. It is truly a magical evening, nerding out Harry Potter style with the very best community online. Plus, we have a VIP upgrade for each show if you want to come and meet Jay and I, take photos, ask questions, and score an exclusive signed tour poster before the show begins. We would love to see you. We'd love to meet you, and we hope you will come and join us for all of the fun. Tickets are available in the show notes for every show or at supercarlinbrothers.com. What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
I'm here, Ben, and I'm feeling...
Jay, let me cut you off right there because I am so excited because I feel like I'm on the cusp.
Go ahead.
I feel like I am so excited.
About
and
what?
It feels inappropriate to even share on the pop, but we tomorrow... are going to tour a location for a potential office.
For a potential new office space.
And since I, in college, in the fine year of like 2010,
yeah.
I became obsessed with a TV show called Rob Dyrdek's Fantasy Factory.
I'm familiar with it.
And Jay, I have basically, in my whole life, wanted nothing more than our very own Fantasy Factory.
Than our very own Fantasy Factory. Just like a large open office style space wherein we could put cool stuff, but also have like regular working spaces.
Regular working spaces, but like very creative and fun and exciting environment. And like then somewhere along the way in like the mid 20 teens, Dude Perfect came along and like they basically did it.
Yeah.
They made like the dream.
To be quite frank, they're actually moving out of that facility now.
Oh, wow.
They're moving to DP3.
It can't possibly be bigger.
Oh, Ben, it's going to be like a public experience. Like it's almost like a, it's like you can come to the premises and like do cool things. It is going to be insane.
Oh my goodness. Great. Yeah. Well, good for them. Good for them.
Yeah, I know. And so good for them.
On the SCB front, we've had SCB 0.0, which is basically where I would say you and I started.
Where we started in the in the basement of the house we lived in together.
Yes, Salem, Virginia.
Yep.
Literally just like a crappy ranch house that I was renting from someone who I feel like just held me in some kind of bizarro.
Like, it seemed like she kind of owned your soul or something a little bit for a while there.
A little bit.
She was like an aquarium client and like also the landlady of the house, but was giving us a deal, but like in trade for services, but clearly expected, like the undercurrent of that agreement was, if I call you at any time ever, you have to answer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was such a terrible situation. And there was, I think the only video we ever privated during year one SCB, I was like venting about this particular situation, and our dad called me the next day and was like, you can't leave that video up. Like, if she sees it, it will be so bad. And that was like the extent to which I felt like she owned every aspect of like who I was, and I just wanted to like scream
that
from,
is
the,
so
from the tops of mountains.
I made a year one video called like how to make money by drinking water at work, or how to make money by drinking water.
Yes.
And the whole like joke or the whole crux of the video was that like if you have a first thing you have to do is just get a regular 9-to-5 job. And then once you're there, just drink a lot of water.
Right.
Like have a water cup and constantly be drinking the water cup, because in doing so, you will have to go to the bathroom a lot.
Right.
And those constant trips to the bathroom, the constant washing of your hands, and not just that, but like then the act of refilling your water cup would take up like 3 hours a week or something.
Right.
So you could be getting... So like I mathed it out and it was like, oh yeah, like you can be getting like paid for like, you know, 2 full weeks of work a year just by drinking water. And it's good for you. And because it's water, no one's ever going to be like, hey, stop drinking so much water.
Right. It's like you really need to cut back on the water.
I know. Exactly. Yeah. No one can ever harp on you for drinking water. That's like, you know, human 101.
Did you get in trouble for this thing?
Well, it was such a weird situation. Not like a weird situation, but like mentally I was like I knew I had this idea and I knew it was funny. And
yeah.
I knew it was like, oh my gosh, like what a funny way. And it felt like a clicky thumbnail or not thumbnail, like title at the time, like how to get paid for drinking water. Because people always want money, you know.
Oh yeah,
people are.
Yeah.
But I knew it was, but part of me was like, but like if I do that and someone at work sees it, they're gonna be like, oh, like yes, of course, normally we wouldn't say anything, but clearly you're taking advantage of our system or you know
yes.
The system or something. So I was like, I think I held off on making it for a while, but like nobody at my office like watched Super Carlin Brothers videos that I've made, you know, like in my mind, it was like taking up all of my brain space. And it like, I thought about it all the time and, you know, it was this big important thing and people were watching and stuff. And I like posted, like, this was like in the early days and it was just like, get it in front of anybody. So like, I put them on Facebook, I'd put them on, you know, my Twitter feed or whatever. And it was like, I have no one at work would ever mention them or bring them up or be like, oh, hey, watch the last one you posted or something. Or like, hey, that was good. Or, you know, whatever.
Right.
Never. Despite it being what felt like in a huge part of my life. And by felt like, I mean, it was a huge part of my life.
It's now like your whole life.
It's now my whole life. And I spent like, you know, 40 hours a week with these people and they did not care. And this was like such proof to me that like, they just did not like, it was like, it's, you know, it's like you spend 40 hours a week with someone and they have like no idea who you are or something.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just like.
But so nobody ever brought it up.
No one ever brought it up.
You sailed right under that radar.
It was like this weird. It was like I thought it would be a bad situation, but it was honestly it was like a win-win. It was like, well, if you bring it up, it means you're watching the videos, which means you're taking an interest.
It's like, thank you like, so much. It's like,
it makes thank it you so for... much. Exactly. Yeah. It's like it's so much more bearable to think that you care about the things I'm posting.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yes. Yes. I'm being reprimanded for like stealing time at work, but you watched my video.
Right. Exactly. Like, oh, but you care about me kind of thing.
I'm touched.
I know. Truly. Or on the flip side, I just get to make the video and no one notices and I prove another point to myself.
Yes. Yes.
Which is just like, I can say whatever I want and you're not going to see it because no one in my YouTube orbit is connected to you at all.
Yeah. Yeah. But although this is the podcaster's paradox, I think a little bit. Yeah. Where it's like there can sometimes be like that was what was happening to me in year one. It's like I can go back to that period of time. And I know that there were probably two key people who were playing a massive role in my life where so many of my thoughts were like reacting to this ongoing situation of like toxic relationships that I could not escape from.
Yeah.
And so it was just like, it was like a constant, like, I really need, like, I want, this is what is occupying my brain space.
Right.
And I can't get rid of it because I can't get out of it. And as such, I have to make these like highly convoluted ways of like attempting to speak around something without giving away who I'm speaking about out of extreme fear that they would end up finding out and it would end up being like a big problem.
Right.
And yeah, because like, at that point in time, everything was such that like the idea of like her, like our landlady discovering that I had said something on the internet and the ways in which she could make my life
even worse was like, it was such a testament to the position that I was in because I already hated the position that I was in.
Right. I know. It's so interesting because like, it's not like it, what's weird is that it's not like you felt like if you brought up the problems to her, she would like fix them. Like she would only be offended and make it worse.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. There was no way in the world it was going to get better.
Right.
Anyway. So that was Super Carlin Brothers headquarters 0.0.
That was the first place. Yeah. Yes.
And hilariously, it is no joke, 100 yards from Alice's store nude.
Yeah.
Like where she currently... Oh, like the business that we have together.
Yeah. Do you ever just drive past it and you're like, oh, memories?
Sometimes I do.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's such a mixed bag because like so many things happened inside of that house, but I'm also so glad it's behind me.
I know. It's like so many things happened there. But I rarely like think about my time spent in that house.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's like when I'm trying to think back about like the memories, I think about starting Super Carlin Brothers and I remember the giant beanbag chairs that we had. I remember having a vacuum cleaner from mom that we had like since we were like kids growing up. And I did not realize the frequency at which the bag inside of the vacuum
needed to be like changed.
Needed to be changed. And so like I basically would just never vacuum because I was like, it doesn't work. Like it never picks up anything.
Oh no.
And so like in my mind I was like, you change the bag in the vacuum cleaner like maybe like once a year.
Right.
And now that I have like a stick vacuum or whatever, it's like I would fill a bag every single time I vacuumed if I did it now. And I'm like, how many bags were people going through in their vacuum cleaners back in the day? This must have been a huge hassle. But then at some point in time I went and bought a new vacuum cleaner and I vacuumed my same area rug 3 times, a 5x8 area rug, and it filled up the vacuum every single time.
Oh my god.
And I was like, that is like categorically horrifying.
Yeah, whoops.
To, like the filth that I was existing within. But this was was like 23-year-old Ben. So yeah. He just had some learning left to be done.
You just got learning to do sometimes.
Yeah,
you just gotta learn some things.
And then the dog Luna is the other one that I always
This was before you had a dog.
This was before I had a dog, true. Yeah. Yeah. And then eventually we adopted Luna, who just Luna has that story where she went to go like live on a farm, but the farm is the land that Alice's mom lives on.
Right.
And so like I go and see Luna regularly, but she was probably like the worst first dog for any person to have ever.
Poor Ben.
I mean, she was the worst in every single way. I was going through such a phase.
You were.
It's like everything was so difficult. Anyway, so I'm totally sidetracked, but that was 0.0.
Office number one. Yeah.
Yes. And then we moved to arguably like the addition on your house.
Yeah.
The first house that you had owned.
Yeah. Yeah. The room above the garage.
The room above the garage.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was like 200 square feet.
It was very small. I mean, if you were just had like a one person office, it would have been fine. It was plenty of room. And for most of the time when we were working there, that is what it was.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because you were still doing the aquarium. You were only doing SCB part-time and I was doing it full-time. So I was there, you know, 5 days a week and you'd come over on Thursdays and we'd like write a script and we'd go to Village Grill and get lunch and come home and shoot it. And then I would edit it. And
the smoked wings.
The smoked wings, man.
At Village Grill.
At Village Grill.
They are still top-notch in case you're ever visiting.
Yeah.
But so
then you went full-time.
And then I went full-time. Yep. And then we very quickly realized that the just... absolutely abhorrent couch that we have in the background of Super Carlin Brothers videos forever and ever and ever. It's like a black pleather couch.
Yeah.
Is horrifically uncomfortable. And I would go and use like my old crappy MacBook and I would lean forward and be typing on like a coffee table.
Yeah.
And there were three of us working in 200 square feet. And anyway, so then we very quickly, I think we were only there for like 3 months before we were like, okay, we got to move.
We got to move.
So then we did. And we moved into like an apartment complex.
Yeah.
Like a two-bedroom apartment complex.
Two-bed, two-bath apartment complex.
Yep, yeah. Yep. Which was pretty great. We were there for a while. And then we moved to, so that was SCB 2.0. So now we've gone from 0 to 1 to 2.
Yep.
And then we moved to a downtown location with this like wonky, it was like, we thought it was going to be so cool, but there were no windows.
There were no windows.
Yeah.
Like,
Well, we had
office had a big window.
Our office, we were up front, so our office technically had a window. However, the way that the sun rose and set meant that there was not really a whole lot of
light. Ton of light. Yeah.
And
mostly we kept the blinds shut because the window was straight out onto the street and we were on the ground level.
And we didn't want people seeing
in
on us.
Yeah, we didn't want people like, you know, walking past the street like spying in on us.
I know, you know how people do. You know how people spy.
Yeah, you know how people spy. Exactly. So there weren't the windows. And above, even though we had office space, the three floors above us were apartments.
Yes.
And so, like, the entryway, the hallway to the elevator was technically a shared space, even though everything else about the bottom floor was just ours.
Yes.
So people were constantly, like, coming and going.
Right. And then there was, like, that, like, obligatory, just, like, you know, they're, like, coming in with, like, their groceries, and they're like, hey, how you guys doing today? What are you working on? You know, it's just, like, you got, like, interrupted a million times a day.
Honestly, that place would have been a million times better if they had this is going to sound like a weird sentence, walls that went to the ceiling?
Yes.
Which it did not.
Right. So it's like, yeah, that was the other thing too. You couldn't have like a private conversation anywhere.
Anywhere, because, just about. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like one of those rooms where like you could like whisper in one corner and then like hear it perfectly like all the way across the room.
So there were two rooms that had closed doors. And one of them was the set.
One of them was the set. Yeah. So almost nothing else ever happened in there. And then the other one eventually became our podcast set.
Yes. Yes. That was eventually where we started Popcorn Culture. This very show.
Yeah. Which was amazing.
Yeah.
So what iteration am I on? 0, 1, 2.
That's 3.
Okay. And then now.
And then now we'd be at, like 4.0 or whatever.
Well, I started at 0. So I guess technically this would be like SCB 3.0. Because 0.0 was like the original like launching point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So then we got to that stage, which is here.
Yeah.
Where we are right now.
Yeah.
And it's actually a super awesome space, all things being equal. It's a very creative, very fun. We have like rooftop access and there are in fact windows and giant skylights that like lets lots of diffused light into every space. So it's been really amazing and I have not been disappointed other than the fact that we have to walk up like 72 stairs to get here.
There are a lot of stairs every single morning, which is, you know, most days not a problem, but some days you're just like, oh my God, it's far. Or like if you, like, God forbid you forget something in your car and you're like, I go all the way back, the way up these stairs again.
When I forget something in my car, I'm like, it's fine. I'll bring it in tomorrow.
I know.
Like,
I know.
I mean, that's literally what it comes to. It's like, oh man, I got stickers that I needed to bring in. It's like, it's fine. We don't need them today.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's that inconvenient. Anyway, but now the Fantasy Factory is possibly, potentially, maybe upon us.
Man.
And I am like, I am so excited for all the wrong reasons, but you know what? At the same rate, I'm like, I don't even care because it's what I've wanted forever and ever. And now it is like possibly there. Like the idea of having these like little like office like cube, not cubicles, but like little freestanding cubes that people's offices can be in. And like, we like pop out of ours and like ride an electric scooter over to like the other person's. And it's like, yo, hey, can I check in on that? Like design you're working on? Hey, that looks good, man. All right. Clap 5. I'm going to go back to my office now, but I might do a wheelie first.
Exactly.
And then there could be space for a basketball hoop. I'm thinking about putting like some like turf on the floor so I can like kick a soccer ball really hard at like a net.
Yeah.
Because like sometimes I just want to go and do that.
Yeah.
It helps.
What's your like ideal like things to have in your fantasy factory?
Okay, so I already listed 2 of them.
You soccer, got basketball hoop.
Yep.
And soccer.
Yep. I definitely also want small vehicles that we can use to like navigate around the space so that we can go. Everybody has their own door that can shut.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
One of the things you may notice from Super Carlin Brothers videos forever and ever and ever is there's this like hum inside of the videos that drives literally every person here absolutely bonkers. And it's like, maybe you've never noticed it before. Maybe it's that glass shattering moment that I shouldn't have told you about, but it's there. It drives us crazy. We know it's there. We've tried to fix it. We've done so many things to try to fix it. I violated fire code and then had the fire marshal come by and tell me I can't do that in effort to fix this particular problem.
The hum.
And it's because all of the units on this vertical platform, everyone's air conditioning unit is directly above where we film our Super Carlin Brothers videos.
Of course it is.
So we turn off our air conditioning every time we record so that you don't have to hear as much of the hum as humanly possible. The one we have control over.
Yeah.
But the rest of the hums, there's nothing doing.
Nothing we can do.
It's like we can't go and tell the other people that like work in this space
exactly.
to turn off their air conditioning. And I'm like, why is it directly above our spot? So anyway.
So no hum.
So no hum. Yeah. So rooms that are like properly like soundproofified.
Right.
Potentially possibly.
Yeah.
Let's see here. That's basically all I've got.
That's all you've got. You want. So right now, would you want us to like have our own offices or to have?
Oh, heck no. I'd miss you too much.
Oh, you'd miss me too much. Yeah, so no. We would still have a shared office space.
Still, yeah. Still, okay. Yeah. That's how we work.
That's how we work. Okay. Good to know. And then let's see. We've got like what? How many different shows at this point? 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 shows we're doing at the moment.
Yeah. So we need at least 5 sets.
We need at least 5 sets. Yeah. Because we'll probably have another one.
Yeah. Because because you know what? It's like the Name of the Wind podcast is just knocking on our door.
Absolutely.
It's got to happen.
We got to do it.
I have too many. I wake up too often in not a cold sweat, but rather a warm sweat.
Yeah.
You know, in the middle of the night with brilliant ideas.
Of course.
And I don't know if a warm sweat's any better, but I was thinking a cold sweat seemed bad.
It seemed bad.
Yeah.
So. You just wake up in the middle of the night with a good thing.
I'm musty.
Yeah. Right?
Is what it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Humid. Humid, in fact. Yeah.
Man. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yep. Sounds good. What would you like in this particular space?
Oh, boy. I think it would be good to, I would like, I don't know. I feel like exercise equipment maybe is something I've thought about before. Like a place to shower.
Yeah, oh, naturally. Yeah,
be good.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like there's been days where I thought like it'd be really great if I could just spend the lunch doing like I've got the Peloton at home. And I used to do that during COVID. It would be like lunch and I'd be like, I'm just going to go do my Peloton ride.
Sure.
And then it's like, I can't really do that here, even though I could given the time.
Right.
You know, so like. Maybe like workout equipment of some kind.
You want to pump some iron?
Yeah, maybe pump some iron. Maybe just like a Peloton or something like that.
I've always
shooting hoops, also great.
Yeah, naturally. Yeah, that'll be there. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That's like a like minimum requirement. We must have at least like 13-foot ceilings.
Yeah.
So that we can like arc a shot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm being like real like Fantasy Factory here, like, I mean.
You gonna say
like,
foam pit?
I mean, foam pit would be cool. Foam pit would be absolutely bonkers. With like, you mean like a ramp to like launch into it?
I don't know. I mean, there could be a ramp. There could be like a jumping off platform. Yeah, there like could be a trampoline.
Like a trampoline
nearby.
Yeah, right. Something like that. I don't know how crazy we can get. Like bowling. You know,
bowling. Oh, okay. I mean, not no.
Right. You know,
I have a hard agree on that front.
Hard agree on that front. I'm like, so often it's like all the stuff that like I want to go out and do but I don't like the places you have to go do it. Like, not that I don't like bowling alleys or anything.
Wow, Jay throwing serious shade at bowling alleys over here.
But like I like, okay, here, how's this?
All right,
how's
this?
Are you ready?
Yep.
It can be something we slowly build, but like our own like personal arcade room. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like pinball.
Like pinball, like some big arcade machines.
Ski ball.
We could have ski ball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm liking the sounds of this.
This is, you know, that sounds pretty fun.
This does sound pretty fun. This,
at our Fantasy Factory here.
Yeah, we're
going crazy.
Would we have like a projector movie theater sitting space so we could like watch film? You know?
Yeah. Private theater.
A private theater. Yeah.
We're going to have to invest a lot of money into this. Yeah.
I don't know why nothing seemed expensive until we said private theater. And it was like, that seems like a lot. Like
pool table.
Oh, a pool table. That could be fun.
Be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, this is like things like, I like playing pool. I don't like going to bars to play pool. You
naturally.
Know?
Yeah. No, yeah. I understand.
And I don't like having a pool table at my house.
Well, the main place to go play pool in Roanoke, Virginia is called Corned Beef.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Corned beef.
Yeah, corned beef.
Going down to the beef.
Going
down to the beef. So we need like a cool like bar room basically that has like the stuff you do at a bar, but we don't have to go to a bar to do it.
Yeah.
You know, you could like play darts.
Oh, darts, yeah.
You know?
Like I mean, I would love darts from like 50 yards away.
Yeah.
You know, like heave a dart and see if you can't get it to like land on the board.
Oh, I mean, yes, that is fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
No doubt.
I like this.
This is the things that we have in our Fantasy Factory, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, so I am super excited because I know the location where this stuff is happening, and it's these like old factories that they are like currently trying to like turn into like creative spaces. And there's like 3 businesses there, all of which I'm like, yes, these are all very cool. And I'm like, we could be one of them. We could be next.
Yeah.
You know? And so I don't even know if it's possible. But like the hope, the potential,
it feels on the table.
It feels on the table. Yeah. And it's like, it's one of these things where, you know, like you and I always talk about, like, we could just do that. Like you talk about like your hot tub. It's like, realistically, it's like you could have one. Like, if you just were so determined to like make it so.
Right.
And it's like, so often I think you and I both have this like bizarre hesitation where it's like, well, I can't do something that would make me happy.
I know. It's like, I don't deserve that. And it's like, I could do it, but like, would that be the most responsible thing? And it's like, well, probably not the most responsible. And it's like, well, then don't do it ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, but like, maybe sometimes it's okay.
You know, I'm going to go medium grade in on like a scooch of irresponsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
You know, just like, it's like, we probably shouldn't do this, but you know what? Like, I want it.
But you want it. But I want it.
Oh, man. So speaking of all these types of things, we had another experience over the weekend, you and I did.
We did.
Your wife, Beth, was off running a marathon.
She did. She ran the Richmond Marathon this past weekend. She absolutely crushed it. She has been training like crazy, waking up so early, so many days to go on like progressively longer and longer runs.
Yes.
And it has been, she has been exhausted and everything, but it was all in preparation for this particular race. And she had like every moment of that day planned out. She's like doing math on like how much food she needs to bring. And like, these are the things that are going to carry with me. And like, I'm just all planned out.
Yes. I mean, it was extraordinary. Like I couldn't believe the number of occasions like where we would like all meet up for like a family gathering. And we're like, Beth, like, what are you up to? And she's like, well, you know, I ran like 15 this morning. And it's like 15, goodness gracious.
I know, like more than a half marathon.
Yeah. Yeah. Just,
it's just a regular base run.
Just like, that's what you did Saturday morning and then still had other stuff to do.
So yeah, she's been training a ton, but the day finally came and she PR'd by like 25 minutes,
which is properly absurd.
Yeah.
Because a marathon is 26.2 miles, which means that she basically improved her pace by just about 1 minute per mile.
Yeah. Yeah. So clearly all of the training paid off tremendously. She said like mentally it was a really hard race. Like she was really having to like push herself to keep the pace for so long, but she did.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
She won the mental battle.
And that's such a challenge too.
Yeah.
Cause like, I know when I was doing my marathon there reached like that, like people talk about it, like, you know, you hit like a wall.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think somewhere around like 20 miles, you know, I was just like, every single step is like, I'm having to like dig deep and find the will to take the next step.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like up until that point, you know, it was like, you're doing like reasonably well. You're like on, you know, I can't go as far as to say like autopilot, but like you're at a conversational pace. Everybody's chatting. Like we're good. We're having fun, you know? And then at some point in time, it's like, oh, there's gonna be 6 miles of this. That means, you know, at the pace we were going, like an hour,
right?
Of like every single second needing to like summon the energy to take the next step. So,
right.
I commend Beth 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
Well done on the PR.
Yeah.
On the accomplishment.
Very well done to Beth. Huge. So yeah, go find some post of hers on Instagram and just tell her amazing job.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
But so she was gone this weekend.
Yes, indeed.
Meaning it was just me and the boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we made big plans to go to Charles Entertainment Cheese.
We sure did, Ben.
Yeah. Which is Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese. If you don't know, Charles on a first name basis, you know, you might call him Chuck.
Exactly. Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah. That's his middle name. That's what the E is for, is entertainment. Anyway, we went to Chuck E. Cheese this weekend, and I brought the boys, and you brought Addison.
Yep.
And we made like an agreement the day before. It was like, hey, because whenever we go, like you get the kids the cards, they go scan the machines, and like I kind of find myself like wandering around, and every now and then, like, you know, I'll be like, oh hey, let me scan your thing over here, and I'll do this, and like I'll play a game next to them or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, Ben, me and you need to just get cards ourselves.
Yes.
And we're gonna try and get just a ton of tickets while we're there,
right?
And like that, you know, just like overcommit to getting tickets.
Just be two grown adults with seemingly unlimited resources, because that's the way they do it now. Like it's not like the tokens like it used to be back in the day where you'd like put your cash into a machine and it would spit them out, and they were, you know, you put them in that like paper cup and it was all, I mean, honestly, I kind of miss those days.
Yeah.
But it is a very effective system because you get to play a lot of games.
A lot of games.
And so now, yeah, we're just two highly capable grown adults getting to do Chuck E. Cheese.
And do Chuck E. Cheese.
And man, so like we got in there and I've got to say, your boys were amazing with Addison.
Well, thank you. Like, well, thank you.
I mean, because that's been the layer of parenting that I've been at for most of Addison's life so far, is that like I can never really take eyes off of her. So it's right. like even like when I think about like every moment she spends in the house, it's like even if she's playing independently, like either or Alice or I is like, you know, almost like clockwork, just like checking in, like how's everything right. going, are the dogs too close, is she eating food, like, you know, what's going on. So this was really cool because like the kids just kind of like took her under their wing.
Yeah.
And so it was like, they like, you know, it was like one of these things where I would like play three games. Then I would go like, you know, walk, just like make sure that like right. everybody's still there.
Everyone's still good.
Yeah. And to Chuck E. Cheese's credit, they actually have a great system. When you walk in, you like take a selfie with your child that you have to like confirm at the front desk. And then like that proves that like I came in with this child, and you can't leave until they've then seen
yeah,
the photo.
Yeah, seen the picture.
So it's like that you're leaving with the same child you came in with. So
right.
they have a good system for how that works, good safety and everything. But it was great. So it was like I would go and find Addie, and I'd like, you know, see her from like over top all the, you know, machines and rides and games and stuff. And the boys would just be like showing her how to do a thing, or riding on like a seahorse, you know, not a seahorse, but like a
yeah.
like a rocking back
a rocking back and forth machine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was great. And so you and I got to just play games.
We just got to play games. Yeah. I had the other like end of it where I don't even have to like check on the boys. Like the way it works for me with them is that if I played for more than about 3 minutes of anything, one of them would come find me.
Oh, true, true, true. Yeah. Yeah,
and
yeah.
need me to assist them in some way, or walk with them, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Just go like, you know, check in and like, I want to go play a different game, and they'd find something. And as soon as they'd start playing it, it'd be like, okay, see you, dad. I was
right,
like, all right.
Right.
Yeah. So, but yeah, otherwise, yeah, we just basically had, cause so instead of your new currency is basically time rather than tokens.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is also kind of interesting because like, and I think it was like $40 for 2 hours of uninterrupted play per person.
Right.
And so it's like it's a fascinating like business model, I feel, because like if I were to think about going in and putting two 20s into like a quarter machine,
yeah,
how many tokens total would that give you? Like 200?
Oh gosh, what is 4 times 80? So you get 160 quarters for 220s.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that can give you like the mental image of like how many taps. So do you think you tapped 160 times?
Oh, absolutely.
You did. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So you got your money's worth there.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So that's the good thing. So then the other thing that I find to be kind of interesting is like all of the machines, because you're in this sort of like unlimited, you know, environment.
Yeah.
Are highly nerfed.
Oh, like, yeah. Like, it's not like you'd think like, oh man, I could just play as many times, I'm going to get so many tickets. And it's like, well, the way they've nerfed that is to just make the ticket yield per game very low.
Very, very low.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I think like what ends up happening is that like, you know, a game that like might be like yielding good might be a 30-second game that gives you like 8 tickets.
Right.
You know, something in that particular vein. So then you go through like the entire process of playing all these games. And I was actually having like a lot of fun with like the games that I felt like I was always terrible at as a child.
Yeah.
So like one of them is like, you know, they've got like the basketball just like shooting games. So, like the ball just keeps rolling back down and you just get to like keep throwing it up.
Yes.
And I don't want to brag, but I did set the high score on both basketball games.
Heck yeah.
And I was pretty proud of that.
That is a dude. Of course. That's awesome. That is awesome.
I know. I was like,
there's nothing better than being the guy who set the high score on the machine.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And it would get to like the last like 10 seconds. So like, you know, you have like, I don't know, like 30 seconds to shoot. When you get to like the last 10 seconds, every time you sink it, it gives you 3 points. And then it yells three.
Yeah.
And I was like, literally I was having these moments where I was shooting and it was like, it would just keep saying it like
three,
the whole
three,
way
three,
down.
Three, three, three.
And then I'd be done and I would like look around and be like, was anyone watching?
Anyone watching that? No big deal. Did you guys see that?
Did you guys catch that? Yeah.
No big deal. Yeah, just no big deal.
Kind of knocking the dust off your shoulders there.
What I like about this system too is that like so often when you're like a kid or at any point doing these games, it's like, you know, you had the tokens and it felt like you had to be really careful. Like, I don't want to waste them all. Like, I want to try as many games as possible. Kind of thing.
Yeah. Like there's like a major scarcity mindset.
Yes. Major scarcity mindset. But like, as such, you don't get to like, you know, learn, like, you know, it might not like, you might not quickly learn that like, oh, okay, at 10 seconds, I'll get 3 points per shot or something.
You're right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
You might not learn that. Or like there was the other game. I think you also said high score on the machine was the football throwing game.
Yeah, the football throwing game.
Like, yeah. I was doing that one for a while. And it's like, if you're a kid, you're just going to go up, you're going to put it in, you're going to throw it, you're going to get whatever score you get, you're going to get your 4 or 5 tickets and just walk away to the next machine. But like, I saw that one and I played that one for a while and like, it's got like, you know, 3 circles on it. And you know, if you throw it in the big circle, it's like a 10-yard pass and the medium circle is like a 20-yard pass and whatever. So it's like, obviously just keep throwing for the smallest circle, which is still fairly big, you know.
It's still fairly big, yeah. So, I mean, it was like, I wouldn't say it was like a huge challenge.
Yeah, especially if you're like tall, which we were, so.
Yes.
But then, like, as you're going, these little, like, side flippers will pop up, and they'll be, like, closer to you and easy to hit and worth, like, higher yards. You just have to hit them when they pop up.
Right.
But, like, what you realize, like, you quickly, like, learn the nuance of the game, and it's like, oh, okay, once per game, one of those slippers will be a 99-yard pass.
Right.
And it's like, so make sure you are always looking for the 99er, because that is the real chunk of every game. If like you missed that one, just like try again.
Just try again. Yeah.
You're not going to get the high score without that. So like, but those are the things, like as a kid, you never know.
Right.
You know, you got to play it a bunch. And it's like, it's funny how the nuances, like you start to like learn them per game.
Yes.
You know, and I think that is where a lot of those games become a little bit more fun, when you're like, oh, how can I actually like work the system a little? Is there more method to it than just throw the ball?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that that's like what we, you know, yeah, we started to get to figure out a little bit. Unfortunately for me though, I was sitting there thinking like, dude, I just set the high score on like, you know, this basketball game or whatever. And I was like, I'm racking up like so many tickets for Addy right now. I'm going to be like dad of the year award.
Yeah.
And then I like looked at and realized that this ticket, this machine does not give tickets at all.
Oh.
And I was like, no.
I think the football machine gave tickets.
Football machine did give tickets, but it was like one of those things where I was just like, no, oh my God. I thought I was like, I'm crushing it right now. Like, and I'm never crushing it. And then it was like, of course I'm not crushing it because I didn't read the fine print.
No, but I think you were still crushing it in the vein of like taking the arcade games very seriously.
I was doing that.
Like you were excelling at that, and that is all I really wanted. Like even without the tickets, like here's the thing. Like if you like when you're checking out, when you're getting your prizes with your tickets, there's like a little sign that's like need more tickets, and they'll like give you one ticket per penny basically, which I think is like just for, you know, oh, you got like 1400 tickets, like just give us $1 and we'll round it up to 1500 for you.
Well, so yeah, and so on that token, it's like if you were to spend $40 on tickets at that rate, you could just buy 4,000 tickets.
Exactly.
Which is way more than we achieved.
Which is way more than we achieved.
Yes. Yeah.
So in that regard, if you get less than 4,000 tickets, you have effectively lost money on the game.
Yeah. Sort of. Not to mention then, even if you have 4,000 tickets, you're buying something worth like $8.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That. Don't be fooled. Don't think, oh, that's it. I came in and I got 5,000 tickets. I beat your metrics. Like, no, you did not.
Yeah. The economics of Charles Entertainment Cheese.
Yeah.
There's a ceiling there.
There is a ceiling. Because guess what? You could have spent $40 and gotten 4,000 tickets and bought like a $3 item. So good for you.
The house always wins.
The house always wins at Chuck E. Cheese. But so the way to beat the house, though, is to just make sure you maximize the amount of fun you're having with the time.
Yes.
Which I feels like you did.
Oh, I definitely did. Yeah. I mean, it was superb. Like I think like on all fronts too, because like I just genuinely had fun. Like I was like literally playing. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was sweating.
Oh, yeah.
I had to go take my hoodie off at one point in time, like put it in the booth, you know, and go back. And that's when I really started like opening up.
You know?
I was like, ooh, okay, now I'm warmed up a little bit. Yeah. You know, I kind of got the rhythm down.
Yeah. I felt like there was a game next to the basketball machine that was like the throw the balls, hit the clowns game.
Yes.
You remember that one?
I do. Yes, okay. Yes, yes. They're like little like almost like fabric clowns.
Yeah.
And they've got like fur coming out in every direction. So sometimes like when you miss and you like graze the fur, you're like, oh,
just whiffs.
Yeah.
But like that game, it does yield tickets. And if you not to get too into the points on it or whatever, but if you get like 500 points, then you get like 100 ticket bonus.
Yeah.
Which if you could get the 100 tickets per game, then you're rolling.
Then
you are flying.
You might beat the house.
You might beat the house, sort of, you know. However, very difficult to do, obviously, with like the one person doing it. But, you know, me and Bet, like, they're not hard to hit.
No.
They're not hard to hit. I mean, it would not be hard, I think, for me and you playing together to be like, I'm getting the top row, you get the bottom row, hit them as fast as you can. And like, there's some nuance here where it's like, oh, if a little light pops up under it, it's like worth double or whatever. So like, make sure you're hitting those. And so I thought, like, I don't know. I was like, dude, I think me and you could get the 500 like fairly consistently if we just do it. The problem immediately became, though, that there was no way for me and you to both play the game without all of the kids being like, wanting to throw the balls too.
Yes, they were like, oh, they're both at the same spot. Like,
I know.
We want in.
We want to play the game. So we never got an honest go at it without the kids also.
We have to go back.
We have to, you know, that's it. Be it better. Just those dads who are there without their kids.
Yes. It's like, where's like, y'all kids? It's like, we're just here.
We have unlimited. We have like annual passes, dude.
Annual passes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
at the Chuck.
Right.
Oh man, that'd be hilarious.
Instead of like the little scan car, we have like the magic band.
Exactly. You know? We have the bands. That'd be so funny. Oh man. So yeah, we didn't get to do that. But my version of this, and I had just as much fun doing this, was trying to find which games I could like try and like maximize, like almost like tickets per second.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, yep.
Yeah, like what you otherwise start to figure out is that like if your currency is minutes and most games take less than a minute, then it almost comes down to like what game is going to yield you, honestly, yes, like the most number of tickets like per second,
right,
or whatever. And there was one game that I played a significant amount of where it's just like you press a button and it drops a bouncy ball and the bouncy ball will land somewhere in the spinning wheel and that wheel has a number of tickets associated with it.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of times it'll land like two or three, but you can play the game every like 15 seconds. And if it lands in like the 20 or the 10 or something, or the bonus, who knows? Craziness. And it's like, but by the end of it, I was like, there's like one little wheel you can land in and it's like, that'll add a bonus ball. And you're like, what does that mean? That's the sort of thing. If you were a kid, it would land in there and you'd be like, oh, cool, bonus ball. And then it wouldn't happen. And you'd be like, what happened?
Hey, the machine's broken.
This is busted. What it means is that you're playing towards like a community jackpot of like, if someone eventually lands the ball in the drop bonus balls, it'll drop that many at one time.
Right.
You've just contributed to that total for some future patron down the line who gets lucky. Not even you.
I mean, can you imagine not getting to experience the fruit of your labor?
Oh, I could not imagine, Ben, because I was sitting there and I got that bonus ball from like 5 to 12 and I was like, I'm not leaving until I drop the 12 balls. Like, there's no shot.
I will extend my time. Like,
no one's stealing my 12 ball bonus, you know. I'm playing. I'm here to go. And I did eventually get it. It was great.
Yes. And then like whistles go off.
Whistles go off and you're like, yeah. We're so much fun. Oh man. There was one that was like, it was like one of those like, you know, stop the needle at the right time thing. It was like, I think every time you like stopped it, it like pumped air into a balloon.
It was a kind of clever machine.
It was.
I sort of liked it. Yeah.
And if you got it just right, it would just like inflate the balloon until it popped, which was the goal of the game. And like on three occasions I got the balloon to pop and like, it's kind of a very loud sound suddenly in the middle of the,
I was wondering about that. I was like, is this like a soundproof box or how does it work?
Not. It is loud. Everyone around me turned to me and I just sort of look at him like, I got it.
Yeah.
That was me.
All the other parents are like, nice.
Nice. And the kids are like, oh my God, this guy.
they should really have a bumper sticker for parents that's like, I popped a balloon at
Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah. So we were really max minting as much as we could there on the tickets. And then for like the last like 5 minutes or something, like me and you, since we'd bought new cards, our cards had like 5 bonus minutes on it. So like Luke's card had run out and he was like, "Daddy, give me your card." And he just like, you know, ran over some machine and swiped it. And it was like one with the big wheel on it. And it was like, oh, you just pull the lever and whatever it lands on, you get the tickets.
Right.
Yeah. Very, you know, super easy to play. But this machine, I don't know if all the machines were like this, but this one especially was like Luke kept like he wasn't strong enough to like. He was like strong enough to move the wheel, but not fast enough that the game didn't think he was cheating.
Well, I was kind of surprised when I went over and played it myself because like I was afraid to like break the machine.
Yeah.
So I sort of like pulled up on it, like, you know, with like one heft of force.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like spin again. And it was like basically it was telling me like, yeah, we know what you're up to. You're trying to not give it a full spin,
right?
So you can like game it and make it land on the jackpot. Like, you got to make a full rotation, sir. And
yeah.
So I mean, I was giving it like a proper, you know,
a proper yank,
and then you got to really jolt this thing.
Yeah, but so Luke would like pull it and like it wouldn't go, and he'd be like, "Why didn't it work?" And so we'd just take the card and like scan it again. And this machine could like stack credits on
yes.
it. So
yeah.
Luke was just down there like trying to get it to scan, and in doing so stacked like 25 credits.
Right.
Or something, which was miraculous timing and just like this weird like loophole in the system where the time ran out, but because we banked 25 credits on the machine ahead of time, it we still got to play them all.
Kept letting you play. Because, I mean, if you could imagine going back to the days of tokens, like, they must have programmed the machines so that, like, if you put in 2 tokens, like, instead of just, like, eating one of your tokens, it was just like, okay, like, once you're done with this game, we'll already have another one prepaid.
Yes, exactly.
But, like, then with the card, it's just sort of like prepay.
Yeah.
Prepay.
So I don't know how many times Luke scanned it. I thought it said 9, but maybe the counter just maxes at 9, because I pulled that thing like 25 times or something.
Oh my gosh. I mean,
I know.
It gives you like a running total too for like your whole like, you know, like session, so to speak.
Yeah.
I think you got like 400 tickets.
I got like 400 tickets in like the last 5 minutes because I ended on the jackpot twice and I was like, okay, obviously like your odds of hitting the jackpot aren't good, but I did it twice in like 7 minutes.
Right.
You
right.
know?
And for context, my whole gameplay over my 2 hours, I got 568. For Addison.
Well, yeah, I mean, I finished the day with 1,300 tickets like total, and but 400 of those were in that last 5 minutes where we just, you know, were cranking up the numbers at like high speeds. I was like, boy, this machine is so boring, but if you just sit here, you will hit the jackpot a few times. And
yes.
Every time you do, game over.
Yes.
You're moving.
So. So, I mean, these are the things we're learning for our next visit. Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, next time we're coming for you. We're going to get that 6,000 ticket squishmallow, Ben.
I want it. I want that squishmallow.
I know. Which is that, like, you could just go buy a squishmallow anywhere else for way less than $60, you know?
Oh my gosh. When you think about the $60 translation, that is kind of like, oh no.
Right. Yeah.
Oh no.
I know. Part of me, honestly, like, we got to the end and I was like, how am I going to do this? Because like my goal was to get a ton of tickets so that my kids could just get like more prizes.
Right.
And then, but then I got out there, I'm like, how am I going to like split it? Like, how is this going to work? So like part of me was like, maybe I just won't do that. Maybe I'll just save my tickets, you know, I'll just build it up. And then like a few trips later, because, you know, I know we'll come back eventually. I'll just be like, Oh yeah. I've got like 120,000 on this thing.
I spray painted my card gold. Got a little extra heft to it, kind of like those like metal like credit cards, you know, and like clangs down.
It sounds so stupid, but it might be the most fun I've had at an arcade in my whole life.
You know what? You know? I think I'm inclined to agree with you.
I know.
Like, I mean, it literally, like, we've talked so many times about like Pokemon cards in like the modern era, like where we've been able to like use like adult money to buy them and have a, you know, because we open them like for our show on gaming. It's like, we have like a specific reason to do it. So we can buy a comical amount of them.
Yeah.
Amounts that when we were kids, we would have like literally lost our minds over.
Yes.
And now it's just sort of like, oh, this is great.
This is great.
But yeah, I mean, it's like, I do think there's like a barrier at Charles Entertainment G's where you needed the kids in order to be able to like go.
To go.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then like the problem is as an adult, you're watching the kids.
Right. Right.
But yeah. So this was like the first time we crested into like the kids can just sort of run free and we'll just do our own thing.
And we did.
Yeah. So what we really, really need is more like the exact same thing, but with just like a little bit more adult style games.
True. Yeah, we need it. Maybe like while we're on tour or something, we're gonna have to go to like a Dave and Buster's because you know that's. I'm sure everybody's like y'all. There is a thing like this
called like a barcade. And right. Honestly, we've had the worst luck with barcades.
You and I.
Yeah.
Where I don't even know where we've gone.
Well, that's exactly what I mean, Ben. Where it's that we have not gone.
Ah.
I think on maybe three, possibly four separate occasions, we have been like. Like that has been the plan for the evening
is to go to a barcade.
Has been to the barcade, go to the barcade, and then it always gets derailed somewhere.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, like we, when we went to Chicago for the movie meetup, it was like, okay, we're going to go, you know, explore downtown a little bit, and then we're going to go to this arcade, and it's going to be awesome. And then it was like, but first we got to get the Chicago pizza.
Obviously. Oh, you're right.
And the Chicago place we went to, we're like, it's like a 2-hour wait. And we were like, no, thanks. There's another one though, over like here. And we were like, okay, that sounds way better. And there was no wait at the other place. And we went in there and we got the pizza and we ate it and it was great. But it took so long to get to that place that then afterwards it was like, we should probably just go to bed. And we didn't go to the barcade. Then when we were at RTX, the staff or the people working it were like, hey guys, just so you know, like we're holding like an event for all the, you know, the creators over at the barcade next to the hotel. And we were like, that sounds awesome. We can go play arcade games, hang out with some of the other people who are here. But then we got there and it had been leaked. And
yes. So then it was just like all the attendees from RTX were then just at this place where it was like, it was supposed to just be like an after hours type of like, you know, networking type of event or whatever. And it was like, well, that didn't work out.
We
didn't even make it in the door.
We didn't even make it in the door. Yeah. And they were just like, sorry guys.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. So yeah, it has not worked out for us on multiple occasions, even though these places exist.
And then I think when we were in Portland for Through the Griffin Tour, we got there and the guy who like ran the Portland venue.
That was the other one.
Yes. He was like, you know, if you guys are looking for something to do afterwards, I actually run a barcade, like, you know, two stops over or whatever. And then we ended up just being there so late. We're like, is the barcade still open? I'm like, it just closed. And we're like, no.
I was like, come on.
I know.
Every time we've tried and put it on the docket as something we're going to do, it does not work out. And it has been frustrating.
Should we just open like JB's here in like in downtown Roanoke? And it's you come and visit JB's and you get to,
yeah.
We could have like great. Okay. So when we were kids, there was a place. Okay. And it was even close to SCB 0.0.
Oh, yeah.
So we were in Salem, Virginia, and in Salem, Virginia, there is prominently, like right when you pull into town, a big Lowe's.
Yes.
And it is directly across the street from Alice's shop. Mm-hmm. But what Lowe's used to be back in the day was a place called Laser Venture.
Yes, it was.
Dude, and I mean, if there was any time in my life that ever rivaled our experience at Chuck E. Cheese over the weekend, it was at Laser Venture. Because back in the day, you would go and you could actually get like a decent amount of tickets. And then you would go and like the prizes that they had were like king-size candy bars.
Yeah.
And so it was like, I always remember being so thrilled because it was like 200 tickets per king size candy bar, and you get like 800 tickets and like, you know, one evening's worth of play. So I was like, dude, I left here with four big
candy bars.
Like, I'm, you know, 9-year old me could not be more delighted with my haul.
Right. Right. Because like, here's like, you're right. Like, owning an arcade sounds amazing to me, first of all.
Okay.
Like, because like, you're right. Like at Chuck E. Cheese, like it's still a lot of fun to go do the stuff, and I like the system they have going there. But they're like killing it on like the prizes are still terrible.
Yes.
You know, it is like at the end of the day, you're walking away with basically nothing. But like they could up the prizes times like 10 times value and they'd still be killing it.
Yes.
You know? Could.
Yep. You're absolutely right.
Like you're right. Like they could just make the prizes king size candy bars and you'd feel like that was great.
Yes.
And you know, I don't think it would hurt them almost at all.
Of course we should open a barcade.
Of course we should open a barcade. yeah, I mean, it sounds fun to me. I like, you know, that's my, it's my kind of jam.
Yeah. Okay.
No doubt.
I like where our head's at.
Yeah.
I feel like we're going places.
We're going places. It's happening.
We're going to have some like nice, like high ticket yield games too.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Just like all the things you can do to an arcade. Like I feel like Chuck E. Cheese is about as close as I've seen to people doing it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Where like I like the unlimited plays and stuff like that. Just like pay up front, get as much time as you want, play anything you want. That's a great idea. But like what can you do to just make sure that at every step of the way it's fun and it feels like worth it?
Yes.
Kind of things. Yes.
Okay.
That's where my head's at.
Okay. Okay. You know, we'll make this happen.
We'll make it happen.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, that was our weekend.
Yeah. Excursion. I didn't think I meant to talk about Chuck E. Cheese the whole time.
Wait, we
got other things to talk about. Don't worry.
Yeah. We can still have a transition.
Yeah. Transition.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Yo, when we first started making content online, I remember the very first time somebody left a comment asking where they could buy our merch. It was a wild moment, almost like a rite of passage. I was on cloud nine until I realized I had to find a way to make that possible, and that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify made it so easy to take that comment to heart and put our first t-shirts online available for, you know, that one person that wanted it. Now, years later, we rely on Shopify every day and have a whole lineup of products from coffee to candles and, of course, t-shirts. And while we always love the comments letting us know what y'all want, Shopify makes it easy to know what y'all are actually loving. So upgrade your business and get the same checkout that we use with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/poppop.
Shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Crocs, Old Navy Outlet, American Eagle Outfitters, Kay Jewelers, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com. Big time deals on big name brands.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
So Ben,
yeah,
over this past weekend as well.
Yep.
On Friday night. Yes, Friday night. You and I were playing some Diablo 2.
We were indeed.
We're just totally crushing it, just having a blast.
Kicking it old school, but also new school because they remastered it, and so now there's like mildly better graphics, which is kind of like as amazing.
It is.
And I did solo Diablo last night by myself.
Oh, I soloed Diablo yesterday as well.
Did you really? My God, that's incredible. I went downstairs and I was like, I just beat Diablo, and I was like, you beat the game? And I was like, actually, that's just Act 4 out of Act 5. And she's like, why is it not Act 5? And I was like, it's a good question. I don't feel like going into it, but I beat Diablo and it's not over yet.
Yeah. I was like, you know why? Because I didn't have the waypoint in Act 5 and I had the
River of Flame.
River of Flame. I had the River of Flame waypoint and that just kind of dumps you out right there. So I was going to do that one.
Nice.
And it was with my, and it doesn't matter. don't get sidetracked at all.
All right, continue. Yeah. So
anyway, we're playing Friday night. And you were like, all right, I gotta go. That Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight is on. I'm gonna go watch that. And part of me was like, I can't believe Ben is spending money to go watch this fight on a Friday night when we could sit here and play Diablo 2.
Oh, yeah, but so then, like, no plans.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I'm surprised because I've not known Ben to be like a boxing pay-per-view kind of person or whatever.
No.
But then you were like, it's just on Netflix if you want to watch it. And I was like, wait, it's like live on Netflix? It had occurred to me that like maybe it'd be fun to like watch one of these events or something, like get a group of people together, like do the pay-per-view thing. Like I've always thought like doing that for like WrestleMania even would be fun.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Yeah. Like, I mean, it's just like, you know, it's just
vibes.
Yeah.
You know?
They make it for entertainment.
It's going to be fun. Yeah. You're just going to get you know, excited about things that don't matter, which is my favorite kind of way to be excited a lot of times. But now if you just had Netflix, you could just watch it. And I was like, that is amazing.
Yes.
I love that. And I was like, well, I'll watch it if I already have Netflix.
Well, and you know, the best way I could compare it, because it's like, it's not that I'm that invested in boxing at all.
No,
and I'm not a particularly big, like, Jake Paul fan. Mike Tyson was a fighter long before I ever really, like, I know him more from like his legacy or even the movie The Hangover than I truly know him as an athlete.
I know. I feel like even like when we were kids, he was sort of like he was done.
Yeah.
For the most part.
I didn't really have like any major reason to be invested. I just kept hearing about it. And it, to me, what it reminded me of would be like someone who doesn't care about like football at all, but like the Super Bowl is on.
Still watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And you're kind of like, well, there's the commercials and the halftime show and like the food and snacks and people get together for it. And like, it will still kind of be interesting. And like, I'm sure the announcers will be able to like convey to me when something big has happened.
Right. And it's like, everyone's going to have watched it, so it'd be better to have seen it because then I'll be able to talk about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Indeed. So then the thing that I was utterly unaware of is that like, I've been like looking like, what time does the fight start? And I had just seen that it started at like 8 p.m. or whatever.
Yeah.
What I did
the
not...
The event starts at 8.
The event starts at 8, but there was like a series of fights that led up to the big fight, which didn't take place until midnight.
Midnight!
I was just like, oh my goodness gracious. By the time like the main event happened, I was like, I am ready to sleep. Like I cannot believe I'm staying awake for this. But I'm so pot committed.
Exactly.
Yeah, like I gotta see the whole thing through. But what did you think about the experience? What did you think about like the fights and the people and all the rest?
Yeah, so I loved that it was just like on Netflix.
Yeah.
Because like that was great, because it was like the sort of thing where it's like, it's not the thing I wouldn't want to watch. It's just that like, I definitely am not going to like pay-per-view it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not invested enough in the rest of it. But like, if it's on, it's like, well, this is kind of cool. Yeah. It felt like, and it was even, and this was like a, like as you're watching it though, like clearly tons of people are live streaming it.
Yeah.
Because it is like an AOL dial-up screen trying to get it to load at points.
Yeah. There was definitely like degrees of like skittering and stuttering. And
yeah,
it's kind of like a fascinating move in the world of like streaming services, because sports has been kind of like the last major haven that I feel like cable still had like their fingers in.
Yeah.
And you know, it was like, I think that those contracts are like starting to like expire from,
yeah, whatever.
I don't even know how long it's been, but like, you know, let's just say they were signing the contracts for 15 years. You know, 15 years ago, nobody could have predicted the phenomenon
of streaming.
Of streaming and wire cutting and all these things that like have come into the modern age. So for a big long while now, it's been like cable companies have still been able to charge huge premiums because they provide sports and they know people really want sports.
Yeah.
But like, I think Thursday night football now, for example, is like on Amazon Prime.
Right.
So it's like, if you don't have Prime, then you can't watch Thursday night football.
Yeah.
Which is like its own weird issue. But yeah, so then I think one of Netflix's other big moves was like, we want in on this game, so we're going to host this fight night.
Yeah.
And
they were doing that. And like, you could tell they were really trying to like capitalize on like, we're not just doing this. We're eventually going to have like NBA and some NFL. And I think they announced like WWE is coming to Netflix or something.
Yes.
Which I did not know about, but that is massive for Netflix.
That is huge. Cause the WWE is like one of those things where it's like, if you think it's not popular, it's like, then you're not in
you
the
just
same,
don't know.
You just don't know. Yeah. It's like there, it's such a massive, massive fan base. Yeah.
Like, cause at the, you know, at the old concert venue, as nice. It were, we had WWE about twice a year. And normally one would be like a house show, and one would be like a live show, meaning the house show is just like, they're not filming it. It's just like, they're just performing for the people in the room.
Right.
And a live show is like, you're on TV.
Yeah.
And so normally like those are like the ones people want to come to, especially, but I mean, it was hugely popular, but you know, it's the sort of thing you start learning about and you're like, look at the WWE like Facebook page. And it's like, I doubt you'd guess this, but like the WWE Facebook page, at least at the time, had more likes on it than not just any other NFL team, but like all 32 NFL teams combined,
which is nutter
bananas when you think about like the popularity of the NFL, and you're like, oh boy, WWE, crazy.
Yes.
So like people like it. So but like, and then I was like, oh man, are they gonna put WrestleMania on like Netflix? Like that'd be so fun.
Yeah. You
know? I would absolutely like have a party to watch that or something. But anyway, this particular event, it was like a little glitchy and poor loading, but at the same time, that almost was like, it was annoying, but it was almost encouraging because you're like, tons of people are watching this.
It felt like all eyes.
If they're like, it felt like, oh man, if like people are crashing like Netflix servers or like crowding it up, like that must be so many people.
Right.
Yeah. So, that kind of felt like cool, but then you're like, I don't follow boxing at all. In any capacity.
None whatsoever. I didn't know how scoring worked. I didn't know how long a round was. I didn't know what anything was. Yeah. I was learning literally every single thing on the fly.
Yeah. I mean, I like, you know, once upon a time I would do like heavy bag workouts, and that was about as much I knew about boxing. I knew you could score. I knew you could win on points. I knew you could win by knockout. And I didn't know like how long rounds were, like how many rounds are typically in a match or anything like that. But I felt like I was learning a lot just watching it. And what I really thought was great about the event was that despite not knowing much about it, it did not stop it from being exciting.
Yeah. 60 million views, by the way.
60 million.
60 million
live people watching.
Yep.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That is an impressive showing.
Yes, it is.
That's
indeed.
Impressive.
Yeah.
And so there were four fights. And the first fight was, it was like...
Like a Brazilian content creator versus like a boxer.
Like a real boxer.
So it's not terribly dissimilar from what you're witnessing with, like, you know, Mike Tyson and Jake Paul.
Right.
Except that you have the added layer of, like, Mike Tyson being considerably just older. But this would be like a current boxer in like championship contention or whatever versus this guy who has sort of like found his way into the boxing exhibition sphere.
Yeah. And that one was very interesting to watch because the content creator guy was just so outclassed.
Yes.
I mean, every single way.
It was flat out remarkable. Like this is what I always say about like the Olympics. Like it would always be so fascinating. Like if they have like the 100-meter dash and they just get like a 35-year-old person to run next to them just to show you what like what your average human would be doing versus what these athletes are doing. Because it's like you can't tell how fast they're running when they're all running against each other because they all seem so
fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it took the other guy about 10 seconds to assess him and be like, okay.
Yeah, this is not going to be a problem.
Not going to be a problem. I mean, he didn't even have his gloves up for most of the fight. But what was crazy to watch was like the amount of things they have control over that you wouldn't expect. Like his overall reaction speed, it looked like he was watching the other guy in slow motion for most of the fight. And like the other guy would like rear back and throw him a punch. I mean, he would move his head back and the guy would miss by like 1 centimeter.
Yes.
And he knew exactly how far that punch was coming, exactly where to be to not get hit in the face.
Right.
You know, you'd think like the sort of thing like, oh, you know, ooh, good thing I moved back. If I'd been 1 inch forward, I would have taken it on the chin. And it'd be like, nah, he was not concerned. He knew exactly how far back to move his head.
Yes.
To not be punched in the face.
I mean, it definitely put into clear context, like if you were to try to go and fight one of these people who does it professionally on this level, like you could not hit them.
No.
Like,
no.
It would be irresponsible for them to fight you because they would kill you.
Right. Like, that's exactly what it would be like. And so it was just interesting to watch because the other guy, you know, it wasn't just like a guy off the couch. He's someone who was like, put effort into learning how to box for it would look, you know, a while.
I mean, he would kill us.
He would. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like he would absolutely still destroy us. But he was no match for like the actual boxer at all, which was very interesting to watch. And then, God, what was the second fight? I can't even remember. This one was actually like a championship fight. Was it not like a,
I think just like two actual boxers
fighting. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay. And this one, it was very exciting because like, it was like a guy defending his belt and a guy going for the belt.
Yeah.
And it looked like in the first three rounds, that the defending champion was just going to like toy with the guy.
Right.
He knocked him down like twice and you were like, dude, there's no way this guy's going the full 12 rounds.
Jay are texting each other in real time and we're literally just like, oh, this guy is so screwed.
Yeah. Like there's no chance. He has no chance. But then boy, like we just know nothing about boxing.
Yeah.
You know, like midway through the fight, the guy who had been losing just like summons the confidence and gets a good hit in, and all of a sudden it's like turned around.
Yes.
And then by the end, they're just trading blows left and right. And like, you know, I feel like every time I see boxing on the TV, I'm always like, no one ever looks like they're really getting a good hit in, you know, it's ever just a lot of guarding and no one's ever getting, and that was not the case. They were just hitting the face.
Maybe just got to pay more attention. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it was like the most I've ever like really paid attention.
Right. Right.
And that one came down to a complete draw, which was like, I believed it. I was like, that was a crazy fight.
Man. Yes.
That was good. They both, yeah, they looked good. And then there was the women's fight after that.
The women's fight was kind of amazing because both of these women that were involved with it were also involved in a fight together. I think like 2 years prior at Madison Square Garden, and it was like a completely sold out crowd, and it had like gone out. It had gone down in like history as like the best women's boxing match ever.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was like these two are so close in skill that and so you're getting a rematch between these two, and it was just like that again.
Yeah. And I mean, that was probably the most exciting match of the night.
Oh, but I would say beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just another like point for like women's sports right now.
Women's sports.
Which I think are just like, I mean, skyrocketing.
I know. So. I know. Like do you think it feels like the Caitlin Clark effect is
So that's like stepping into like,
in like basketball.
Yeah, but. Yeah. So I mean, like, yeah, in the WNBA, Caitlin Clark has been like this like phenom. And it's not to say that other, you know, women haven't done like massive things for women's sports.
No, yeah.
But I think that this will be a clear like, you know, divide like
this is
before and after.
I mean, there's been effect. I feel like yeah, there's been like a big ramp in the past like several years with what like the women winning the World Cup again,
yeah,
and Caitlin Clark entering the WNBA and just changing everything, and then the women shining like crazy at the Olympics,
yep,
just in a variety of sports. Just tremendous. And then this fight too, because 60 million people just saw like apparently the best women's boxing match of all time.
Yes.
Which, I mean, it was the most exciting one that happened. And I don't know like any the way it was. It seemed like I don't know if it's just like they were like overall less like powerful in terms of like being able to knock someone out, but like as a result, like they were both just like launching furies of fists at each other, like nonstop. And it was like, I was like, oh my God, I don't know what's happening. Like so many hits landing everywhere.
Yes. Yeah.
And like the one girl had like this massive cut on her eye. And I'm sorry. I feel like I said they don't have enough power to knock people out, as if they could not like kill me with one punch.
Oh yeah. 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 I mean, I would never fight them.
I would never do that. Like, please do not misinterpret that at all. But yeah, like the one girl's like just bleeding, gushing blood down her face the whole fight.
I know. Yeah. And I mean, that's the other thing too, is like, you're like seeing this like horrible injury that like, if that happened to me, I would be like, nobody touch me. Nobody get near me. Get me to a hospital right now. I might pass out.
Yeah.
Like, in the meantime, the other girl is like focusing on it and punching it on purpose, making it worse.
Oh my gosh. I know. It's like the announcers are like, oh no, that's such a bummer that this happened. Like, it's probably not going to go to rounds. Like, they're definitely going to call it or whatever. And then it was like, you just kept saying to back up.
It's just like, okay, good for you.
I know that you're right. The other girl was just like, anytime she could punch that exact spot, she would.
Yes.
Was just like, it's like, that's one of those like sportsman things. You're like, is that bad sportsmanship or is it good strategy?
It's the type of thing. Yeah. Like, because the thing that I thought was really fascinating about all four matches is that as soon as they were over, the two boxers like hugged.
Yeah.
And so like the build up to boxing has this like massive theatrical element to it, where I think, like, you know, especially like with the advent of like Twitter and stuff, it's not uncommon for people to be like, you know, dishing on each other, talking smack, you know, like definitely making it seem like their intention is to go in there and literally destroy the other person, and it's not even going to be close. And I think a lot of that is like built so that the narrative is then interesting. But like, clearly, once the match is over, it's like they were in it together. Like,
right.
You know, I mean, not that it's staged, it's a real fight, but like, you know, once they're not competitors anymore, they respect one another as
like, yeah,
fellow athletes.
As fellow athletes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the, yeah, women's fight, tremendous. If you, I mean, you can just go rewatch the whole thing on Netflix and you won't have any lagging problems at this point.
Right.
And you can just skip through all the in-betweens and just watch the fights. So,
right.
Which is probably just the better way to do it. But all leading up to the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson fight. And I would say it was really interesting to watch because it just didn't seem like even one single person on the whole planet wanted Jake Paul to beat Mike Tyson in a boxing match.
Not really, yeah. I mean, because I think that literally everybody in the world of boxing, it's like, this is such like a beloved figure,
yeah.
Which again, I'm mostly delivering as someone who watched the thing and was able to surmise it from what people were saying. Not, this is not necessarily things I would just know. But yeah, like it sort of just seemed like everybody was kind of like, I just don't want to see him lose. Like that doesn't seem fun. Like that doesn't seem right. Like,
right.
You know, and I think like the big argument was basically just that like Mike Tyson is just so powerful,
yeah.
That like if he could get like one square hit in the first round, he might just be able to one punch knock him out.
Right.
But then the age factor starts to come into effect where like Jake Paul is just in his prime as an athlete,
yeah,
and Mike Tyson is still 58 years old, which it's like, it's a very brutal sport if you're 27,
yeah,
let alone 58,
right?
And then I think that basically like once the match really like started underway, I mean, you can disagree with me, I don't know what you thought, but I found it to be kind of boring.
Yeah, it seemed like it was almost a little bit boring. Yeah.
Like I think on some level like. Once Mike Tyson didn't knock him out in the first round, it was just like, well, now that athleticism is going to come into play and it's not even close.
Yeah, it very much seemed like, yeah, that's sort of like what people were like hoping for was like this, like, I don't know if it would even been like a surprise victory for Mike because he wasn't even favored like on the like Vegas odds or whatever,
yeah,
to win. But it was like, and I felt like I was just trying to like read the narrative, like the subtext or whatever of what was happening in the fight. Cause it was like, you know, like if like, it seemed pretty apparent after especially like even the first two rounds that like Jake was just like younger. He was landing way more hits.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it kind of felt to me like what he was trying to engineer was like a full fight that went all the rounds.
Yeah.
So that like people got to watch the whole fight. Like it felt like at some point he was like doing more of the showman.
Definitely.
Like being like, you know, like let's give the people a whole fight and like don't knock out a 58-year-old man. That's not going to look good.
Right.
But just land enough blows to win the fight, but keep it going.
Yes.
As long as possible.
It seemed like there was a very fine line that was being walked, which is, I mean, like if I had to commend one thing about it, it's like you do have so many people watching you, and you do, like, I mean, you have to sell it, you know, you have to make it look real, but I mean, I just don't think it wasn't faked, you know, like it wasn't like scripted, but it just wasn't like a battle,
yeah,
know? Like,
yeah,
you know, I mean, if he this is not, you know, in defense of Jake Paul or anything, but it was just kind of like he could have killed him.
I mean, I think it was like probably because they like the announcers were talking about ahead of time. They're like, it's like there's not like a win-win scenario for him necessarily, because like either he comes out and like, you know, Mike Tyson just knocks him out and that's bad news for him,
because yeah,
then he made all this, you know, and then he got knocked out by a 58-year-old man. But on the flip side, if he goes out and just knocks out Mike Tyson, well, everyone's gonna be like, oh great, you knocked out a 50-year-old man, you know, like,
right,
like,
yeah,
well, good on you, wow. You know, you beat up a legend, cool.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
like there was no like necessarily good outcome, so he probably got the best outcome possible, which was a full fight that he won where he didn't hurt anybody.
Yeah, and it, yeah. I mean, it largely just seemed, you know, respectful. And I think in reality, those two are just like friends.
I have no idea. I don't follow Jake Paul at all.
I mean, yeah, this is the small amount of Googling I did in and around my couch whilst watching the fight. So anyway, but yeah, no, it was an interesting like cultural experience.
It was, yeah. It felt like a turning point for like streaming live sports.
Yeah. So I think that could certainly be significant and more stuff to come. I think even during it, they announced that there's going to be like football on Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did.
Yeah. I think the Chiefs will play, who we're going to see play this weekend.
We are going to see the Chiefs play this weekend, which yes. I'm pretty excited about. Yeah.
There's like this. I mean, I know that this is not the reason that I should be excited, because I'm excited to go see Patrick Mahomes, who will go down in history as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. That is already decided. But there's a chance that Taylor Swift will also be there.
Physically be
in the same stadium. It's just kind of like cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I know. I am looking forward to it. We've had something every weekend for a while here in November, and it's just continuing.
Yeah.
Because then the following weekend we'll just be Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, yeah.
Slash Luke's birthday.
Right, right.
So that'll just sort of carry on. But we're not necessarily Panthers fans or Chiefs fans per se, but last year when we went to the NBA game when we saw the Celtics play the Wizards,
yep.
I felt like it was like a life-changing night for me a little bit in a way that I really didn't expect.
Right, no, you definitely walked away from that like marked. You know, because I think you have adopted the Celtics in a way that I'm like, you know, what happened last night? And you're like, oh man, let me tell you.
I know. It's just like, I mean, I got the league pass so I could watch all the games that aren't on national television.
It's so great.
It's been super fun to watch. And in case you're wondering, this past weekend, Jason Tatum had a buzzer beater against the Raptors. So that was great.
Heck yeah.
In overtime. And don't let, I mean, it's like, I don't know. It was a funny game because the Raptors have the worst record in the NBA. So the fact that it came down to an overtime buzzer beater was like, shouldn't they have just won by a ton?
Yeah.
But at the same rate, it's like, it's so fun to see a buzzer beater. So.
And, I mean, which is basically like when time has expired, the ball is in the air and it goes in the net to win the game.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That was exciting.
Incredible. Incredible. Cool. Well, good for you and good for the Celtics.
Exactly.
Oh man.
But it's even that is like, you know, you're watching it. It's so different watching a team that is at the top of the sport.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to watching the Commanders forever who have not been. And you're watching, you're almost going in oh, they're playing the Raptors. easy game. Don't even worry about this one. But it's like, that's not the mentality of the Raptors.
Right, you know? Yeah. They're like, we want to win.
Not only do we want to win, but we especially want to beat the Celtics because that's such a statement win.
Yes.
You know, so it's like, you're coming in, it's like, not only do they have a hard road back to the championship, but it's like extra hard this time because now they're the champions. And that means everyone who plays them is giving them their absolute best game.
It's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. It's like there's nothing worse than being the absolute best and the known best because everyone wants to be the one who topples you.
Exactly.
So everyone is showing up fully focused, game day, let's go.
Right. It's like, of course we lost those other games because we had this one circled on the calendar for a month.
Yeah.
And, you know, we put all of our prep into beating you guys and they nearly did.
Man.
But they didn't.
Well, hopefully we did a good enough job entertaining people with our Charles Entertainment cheese regaling so that they humored our sports talk here at the end just a little bit.
Yeah.
But great pop, Jay, today.
I feel like
we covered so many bases.
Yeah, we got a lot of it.
And we've just been hanging out.
Yeah.
It's been great. And the girls are coming with us this weekend. It's going to be amazing.
Oh, I know. We're going. I can't wait. NFL game. But we got two NFL games, one season. What?
What even is this life?
I know.
Mm. We're doing it. Anyway, guys, thank you so much, as always, for listening. If you've made it this far in the episode, mm-hmm. we do appreciate it just so very much. As a reminder, we do have that vinyl record that we're going to be recording for Q4 for the Patreon quarterly merch.
Yes,
so
we do.
If you want to get in on that, you can head on over to patreon.com/popcornculture and select the quarterly merch tier. The links to that everywhere you might expect them. Or you can just go on the little URL bar and type it in. And it's like, boom, there it is. Nice and easy peasy. Scroll on down, click all the buttons.
Yeah.
We're there.
You got it. Final record.
Final record. Boom. Otherwise, until next time.
Pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager. And the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
Gear Patrol just called their ISO-certified dive watch the best sub-$500 dive watch, full stop. And their ceramic watch material almost magical. The Wall Street Journal called them iconoclastic cool, potentially redefining the industry itself. Who are we talking about? It's Movement. And they're leveling up your gift giving with the biggest deals of the holiday season and the sleekest watches around. Shop 30 to 60% off Movement's variety of designs, colorways, and functionalities. From the thinnest automatic dress watch under $500 to waterproof guarantee adventure-ready sport watches to rare ceramics, Movement's got options for everyone on your list. Whether you're gifting for family, friends, or yourself, be the good gifter this year with Movement's huge site-wide holiday sales and enjoy the usual fast and free shipping. Shop 30 to 60% off now at movement.com. That's MVMT.com.
Y'all, I am so excited because Through the Gryffindor is heading back out on tour. Starting in February of 2025, we'll be performing live shows in Charlotte, Orlando, Tampa, Jacksonville, Atlanta, and Nashville. And as always, we will be bringing all of the magic with a tour-long Jay versus Ben trivia showdown with questions submitted and asked by all of you. And then, of course, we will dim the lights for a live recording of Through the Gryffindor. And y'all, these nights have made for some of my all-time favorite since we have started making content on the internet. It is truly a magical evening, nerding out Harry Potter style with the very best community online. Plus, we have a VIP upgrade for each show if you want to come and meet Jay and I, take photos, ask questions, and score an exclusive signed tour poster before the show begins. We would love to see you. We'd love to meet you, and we hope you will come and join us for all of the fun. Tickets are available in the show notes for every show or at supercarlinbrothers.com.